Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back inside the Mid-American Bandwagon Podcast, episode 96, coming to you live this week. Zach Folador joined, as always, by Zach Vanuenza here to break down the week that was in Max Sports. Take a little look ahead at some of the stuff coming up going on this weekend. Vanzi, how are you, sir?
All doing pretty good. You know, been looking forward to this all day. You know, just kind of excited to put some content out and talk some Mac sports. You know, it's starting to get to that point of the year where we got Mac baseball. And, you know, here in Big Ten country, I'm starting to turn on the Big Ten Network, starting to jones for, you know, some of those classic football games that they replay. And I just wish we had like a Mac, you know, sports channel or like or something, the equivalent of the Big Ten Network.
Man, wouldn't that be great? Even if it was just like a streaming service or something, of like an ESPN Plus type of deal, where you could rewatch old Mac games. Man, I would love that, to be able to go back and do that. I agree with you completely. It's that time of the year where, you know, baseball is great. I'm a baseball fan, but once, you know, we get past college basketball and moves into May, we start to get into the summer. This is that time of year where I'm really missing football now. You know what I mean? And baseball does a lot to get me through, but there's nothing like those weekends in September and October. And so I'm ready for some football to be back. But thankfully, the Mac gave us a lot to talk about this week. They gave us a lot to keep ourselves occupied with. So let's jump right into it here, Vanzi. This first story, you know, the Twitter put on a tweet about this yesterday, about this Akron rebrand, right? And I don't know if we've ever gotten as many responses to a question on Twitter as we did about this Akron rebrand, Vanzi. About 20 plus comments on that tweet. And I'm curious to get your thoughts here, Vanzi, because if you know, we read the release by Akron where, you know, they talked about their identity getting a little bit muddled, right? Where they had eight different logos that you could conceivably refer to as their primary logo here over the last couple of years, right? They had the kangaroo with the University of Akron on it. They had the Z, the A with the kangaroo head, the script Akron, all these different logos. They've gotten rid of all of those for now in favor of this new, what they're calling the stylized modern A, that's going to appear on their football helmets. It's going to appear at midfield on there at InfoCision Field there at the football stadium. Vanzi, I'm curious to get your thoughts. I want to hear your initial reaction to this rebrand here, and then I'll give mine after we hear what you have to say. But I'm curious to kind of get your initial thoughts on this.
Well, first off, I mean, I think for the last few years, we've heard that Akron Athletics was really money strapped. And yeah. Since then, they've gone out, they've hired John Gross, they've hired Joe Moorhead, and now they've, you know, rebranded. So, you know, maybe that's just completely wrong on this whole, you know, that how, you know, essentially poor that athletic department is. But, you know, when I was going, I got a lot of thoughts on this. And when I was looking over it, I didn't realize how many different logos they had. And they put out a great video. And there's just, they've had a lot of athletic successes. But if you're watching college athletics and you see a logo with a kangaroo, you're not thinking Akron, Ohio. You know, and I mean, in Mac country, yeah, we're diehards and we get that. And then, you know, yeah, Zippy the Roo is kind of the unofficial Hustle Belt mascot or celebrity crush or whatever you want to call it. You know, so we get that. But outside of that window, I don't know that a lot of people really understand that, you know, and I think we're sensing this trend. You know, you look at what Western Michigan did with their block W, you know, and in getting rid of the ghost Bronco and trying to streamline it across sports. You know, I think these universities, part of their brand is they want you to be able to see it and be like, okay, that's Western Michigan, that's Akron, you know? So that being said, I think the A, you know, right now, if you look at it, it kind of reminds me of a Canadian football logo or something, you know, immediately when I look, I'm not saying, oh, that's Akron, but I think that takes time. And I think it'll come to mean more as, oh, that's Akron, than what you would necessarily see from a kangaroo head or something along those lines. You know, so it does make sense. You know, they put out some renderings of the football field and of the basketball court. It looks very sharp. I think it's a fine logo. I don't know what else you could have really done, you know, there. You know, I'm still partial to the Akron logo that they wore under helmets when Charlie Fry played there.
Yeah.
And you know, so you know, I would have liked to have seen that come back, but I think streamlining the brand, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, and you talk about the sports calendar getting a little bit slower. Nothing is going to draw up more, and we saw this with Western, is going to draw up more feelings than a logo change, you know, in the summer months in a slow period.
Yeah, you're right about that. They definitely picked a good time of the year to get people talking in order to announce this. And, you know, a lot of what you say, I agree with, Vanzi, and I agree with what Akron's saying here. You know, you read the release with Athletic Director Charles Guthrie talking about streamlining their brand and making their brand identifiable with one logo or maybe two logos, as opposed to the eight logos that you could potentially look at right now and call it their primary logo. I totally get that part of it. I just think if I was going to pick a new logo, I want something that's going to get the fan base excited. So you mentioned the logo from the Charlie Fry era, you know, the A with the Rue head there. I think that would have been a great choice to go ahead and just make that the primary logo. You even go back a little bit further before they introduced the kangaroo onto the helmet. Prior to that, back before they made gold their second official color, when they were still blue and yellow back in the 90s, they had that other, I don't even know what you call it, the running A or whatever you might call it, that just the block A with like the wind or what, I don't even know what you'd call it. That, another, going back to like more of that retro look, I also think that would have been a good idea. This new, what they're calling this stylized A that they've announced here these last couple of days, it just seems very generic to me. It just seems very bland, similar to that Western Michigan Block W that they put out last year. At least with the Block W and at least with Western Michigan, they still have the Ghost Bronco on their helmet, right? And so that, I feel like for Western Michigan fans, that eased the pain of that transition a little bit. Here with Akron, I mean, if the comments on our post on Twitter are any indication, a lot of Akron fans don't necessarily love this new primary logo. And now they're going to have to see it on their football helmets. They're going to have to see it at midfield of the football stadium. They're going to have to see it at center court there at the basketball arena. I can understand them wanting to streamline things, Vanzi, but I feel like picking one of their already existing logos or going back to more of a retro option, I think that might have been something that to me would connect with the fan base a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I have to wonder if this isn't coming out a little bit too late, because had this come out sooner, you know, say March, you would have had, you know, this logo for when Akron was winning the MAC basketball tournament and going against UCLA in the NCAA tournament, and a lot of people tuning in would have said, oh, that's Akron, that's their logo. So I almost wonder if this is a couple months too late. But I think that's kind of the thing, you know, it's kind of a turning of the page. You know, Akron, I think all those logos, you know, you talk about, oh, well, that's what Charlie Fry wore. Okay, that's great. But Charlie Fry didn't play women's volleyball. I mean, I'm assuming he didn't, you know, who knows what went on at the dorms, you know, but it's hard to, you know, kind of take that logo from a football helmet outside of like a major, you know, I know Michigan does it for football and hockey and things like that with the winged helmet, but I think that's really hard to do outside of that at a major football power and say, okay, well, we're identifying with it. You know, the probably the thing that I can think of is EMU, they have the diamond plate blocky. And then for other sports other than baseball, they just have the generic blocky, you know? So, and that's not even really synchronized. And the other thing is it's going to be interesting to see how much of this logo carries over into admissions and into academics and, and how much they'll really run with this and make this, you know, the university logo, because athletics and academics, that line as far as recruiting is becoming blurred. You know, nothing, you look at Boise State admissions, Gonzaga admissions, nothing really got those schools on the map academically so much as successful sports programs where people are like, oh, that gray turf, or excuse me, the blue turf, oh, that's pretty cool, I want to look at Boise State. You know, and so there is that correlation between academics and athletics, and syncing up the logos, I think, is something that a lot of schools are now looking to do.
Yeah, that's a great point, Vanzi. It is. So as mentioned, you know, they gave us some, you know, mock-ups of what the football field is going to look like and the football helmets as well. I haven't seen full jerseys or anything like that. So we'll obviously those will be coming here over the next couple of months. We'll keep you all updated as we get those developments, but seems from the fan base thus far, the response to this rebrand seems to be lukewarm at best. So Akron fans out there on Twitter, if you're listening to this, tell us why you agree or disagree, or why you like the rebrand, or any criticisms you had of it. Moving on here, Vanzi, a little bit more of a more somber story here. And one that I think you might be able to shed some additional insight on, but Eastern Michigan assistant football coach Fred Reed passed away this past week, unexpectedly, only age 54, pass game coordinator and safeties coach for the Eagles. This was his 27th season as an assistant coach, 25 of those seasons being in college, two of them being in the NFL. And he's been in Ypsilanti since 2016, Vans. He came to Eastern Michigan after the previous 3 years were spent at Syracuse. Really has improved the defense, improved the secondary there over his time in Ypsilanti, Vanzi. And so, Vanzi, for you, someone there on the ground closer to the program than I am, than most of the people listening are, what have you been hearing from Ypsilanti this week? What are the thoughts there? How's this story being taken locally?
Well, yeah, real quick, I just want to kind of pause and take a step back. And, you know, I think I speak for both of us, and I know we tweeted it out, but I want to go beyond a tweet and just say, you know, our condolences to, you know, the Reed family, the Eastern Michigan football and athletic family, you know, a tremendous loss. And boy, the thing that I was really struck by this that kept coming out, was you didn't hear any, you know, you didn't hear too much about coaching, you know, which was interesting to me. You heard a lot about, you know, what a model man, what a model father, what a, you know, like, he pushed me to be better academically. He taught me how to be a man of honor and things of that nature, and in different people, not just players and coaches who are in that room, but the support staffers who, you know, would comment on some of the, you know, comments that Reed had in passing. And, you know, so I think that can't be lost. You know, obviously a very successful football coach, time at Syracuse, time in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. You know, so that his time at EMU, you know, it all speaks for a very successful coach. His son this fall, I believe it's pronounced Amar Reed, from Canton, Michigan. He's going to be a true freshman. His tweet was, "We lost a great dad, coach, and all-around man today. You were what pushed me and always will be. Rest easy, dad." And then there's a heart emoji. So, I mean, that's just tremendously tough to read, to think, to fathom, you know, what that young man and that family must be feeling. You know, from what we have heard, it was a medical emergency. You know, we won't speculate further, but a tremendous loss. And the thing is, you didn't just have defensive backs or defensive players kind of coming out and saying, oh man, you know, we're going to miss him. It was the entire team. And, it just seemed like a great guy, a lot of energy. Obviously, you got the passing game coordinator, defensive passing game coordinator title. That's a very outstanding title, and that speaks to his value on the staff. The other thing, and it kind of summarizes the grind that is college football, but I believe this broke Saturday or Sunday, and Monday you had EMU coaches tweeting out recruiting stuff from the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
You know, they lose a colleague and the grind doesn't stop. And, that's really, really something. And there's been no announcement, as far as I'm aware, of when the memorial service will be, or anything of that nature. But I would imagine you would see, and it seems trivial, but I would imagine you would see, a sticker on the helmets, a patch on the jerseys, potentially. And EMU has this tradition of, they have somebody each week, kind of carry out the wrench, somebody important to the program, somebody who maybe overcame something. I would think that young man, Amar Reed, would be a front runner to carry out the pipe wrench, the gigantic pipe wrench, for the opener against Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, I do feel so bad for his son, Amar. You work your whole life to potentially play college football, and then you have the chance to get coached by your dad, and then have that get taken away from you like that is certainly tough. Thoughts with the whole family, with the whole program. You said it, you articulated very well something that I was trying to articulate in my mind earlier today. And what I observed is very much what you said was, I'm reading these articles about him, and so much of what was said about him had nothing to do with his abilities as a football coach, right? It's all about him as a man and the impact he had on the community and the impact that he had on the young men, that he coached. And I think that right there shows you the impact that a truly, a good coach can have on, the amount of lives that he's able to affect over the course of his career. 27 years, 25 in the college ranks, bounced around. He was also coached previously at Ohio and Buffalo. Was well seasoned in all things Mid-American Conference. And so rest in peace to Coach Reed, Fred Reed, passed away this past weekend, age 54, the passing game coordinator and safeties coach for Eastern Michigan. Will be interesting. I mean, just purely from a logistical standpoint and from the coaching staff standpoint, Banzi, it will be interesting to see how Coach Creighton opts to fill this vacancy on the staff. Maybe, a little bit late in the cycle here, maybe they promote someone from within. But certainly, even if you are one of those coaches that might get promoted from within, these are never the circumstances with which you want to earn that opportunity, right? I'm sure that whole building is hurting right now. So that's something that we'll be keeping an eye on here over the coming weeks. We'll see how Eastern Michigan fills those shoes. And certainly those are big shoes to fill with Coach Reed passing away. One more general news story here, Vanzi, wanted to touch on before we move into some softball and baseball talk. We haven't talked a lot about some of the other Olympic sports here this spring season. However, did want to give a quick shout out here to Central Michigan's women's lacrosse team, the Chippewas, making their first trip to the NCAA tournament. They just clinched their first MAC conference tournament title this past Saturday. They knocked off Robert Morris 20-10, who is an affiliate member of the MAC in women's lacrosse. Central Michigan, only their seventh season as a program, Vanzi, finished the year 12-7, win the MAC championship. They're going to make their first NCAA tournament appearance this coming Friday, the 13th, taking on Northwestern. Vanzi, Northwestern fourth nationally, fourth seed in the 2019 tournament, very traditionally a very, very strong women's lacrosse program. But Vanzi, we haven't talked really any women's lacrosse here this year, but certainly quite an accomplishment for Central Michigan to get to the NCAA tournament and win the MAC championship in only their seventh year as a program.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watched any Northwestern's women's lacrosse. That's a tough word, apparently. But they play right on Lake Michigan. Yeah. Like, if a ball goes out of bounds, it could go into Lake Michigan. Lacrosse is a growing sport. Definitely, you know, I think there's a video game out for it. It's definitely something which is getting more attention. More and more schools are adding it. You know, you look at Central Michigan in their seventh year. Eastern Michigan starts playing lacrosse next year. So, you know, you're starting to see more and more MAC schools add to sport, and it continues to grow. You know, 7 years, I mean, you know, you start talking about it really, you know, you have what your, you know, 4 years of class. So that's still, you know, kind of in that window where you're just talking about, I mean, the being a very young program. You know, and just to come that far into win the MAC title and to make the NCAA tournament is a tremendous season. Definitely wish them a lot of luck. It's going to be very tough. Northwestern, as you said, is a very strong program. I actually went to, you know, one game this year, Michigan lacrosse, and it was against Northwestern. So, you know, so that's kind of, you know, kind of an oddity there, but, yeah, definitely. You know, so that's very odd to say, but a very strong program, the class of the Big Ten. And yeah, that's going to be definitely a tough one.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, matching up against the Blue Bloods or the Greats. Well, Central Michigan will have that opportunity here on Friday. You mentioned Central Michigan only being around for seven seasons. This is only their seventh season of competition. Well, to give you an idea of what they're going up against, Northwestern won seven national championships in an 8 year span from 2005 to 2012. They were also in the NCAA semifinals in 2019 and just last year in 2021. So talk about a program that is established in Northwestern. Sarah Tisdale and the Chippewa is going to have a chance to take that on as the new kid on the block. Sarah Tisdale, in her seventh season as head coach at Central Michigan, she's the only head coach this program has ever known. She's gotten them to the big dance here. We'll see if the Chippewas can make any noise against one of the biggest names in the sport. The winner of this game will take on the winner of Notre Dame and Michigan in a second round game on Sunday. But again, this first round matchup for Central Michigan's first ever NCAA tournament appearance at women's lacrosse will be this coming Friday, the 13th at 5 p.m. Eastern time there in Evanston. So best of luck to the Chippewas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Vanzi, let's talk a little bit, another sport we haven't talked a ton about here this year. It's this MAC softball. Softball season wrapped up this past weekend. The Mid-American Conference softball tournament is coming up this week, Thursday through Saturday. Let's take a look at what we got here, Vanzi. I guess, take a quick look at the final standings. You mentioned it briefly last week. Miami really kind of dominating the field here in softball in the MAC this year, finishing 24-5 in the conference, 36-15-1 overall. Similar to baseball, we got top four teams in softball are going to make the conference tournament. So we got Miami as the one seed at 24-5 in the conference, Ohio the two seed at 17-10, Central Michigan the three seed at 17-11, and Bowling Green the four seed sneaking in the Falcons 16-11. So really not a lot separating teams two through four there. But Vanzi, general impressions. First of all, I think, you know, we look at baseball, obviously we had two teams, Central Michigan and Ball State at the top, who clearly separated themselves from the rest of the conference. Here, it seems like Miami's kind of by themselves at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, pretend that I've seen any of their games or anything of that nature, just kind of, you know, have read up on them and, you know, significantly, you know, ahead in the standings. You know, definitely looks to be the class of the MAC, you know, and they're going to be tough for any team to get by. You know, if you look at the bracket, they, you know, obviously, you know, four teams, they get to host the tournament. They're going to host it down there in Oxford. And, you know, so Miami will play Bowling Green, the fourth seed. And that's a tremendous advantage to be the number one seed and to be the home team as well. So that's not going to do anyone any favors trying to knock them off this coming weekend, or actually, you know, it starts Thursday. So whenever, you know, so if, you know, depending how we release this, you know, they may have already started.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to probably do here, folks, so we're going to release this Thursday morning. So you'll have this in time for all of the MAC softball games taking place Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But yeah, Vanzi, I mean, I agree with you. It really, I mean, Miami here really, really has separated themselves, especially offensively. I mean, 310 batting average, that's over 30 points better than the second best team in terms of batting average. I mean, they've scored more, over 50 more runs than every other team in the conference. Offensively, this team is just so good. And there's a lot of talent on this offense. You look at Carly Spade, second in the conference in batting average. Chloe Parks is up there. Maggie Murphy, Allie Cummins. I mean, all four of those folks. And then you throw Kate Kobayashi in there. That's five people on your roster hitting over 325. I mean, up and down the roster, this is, they just get on base and they score runs, and it's hard to combat that. But when we look at the matchups here for this weekend specifically, Vanzi, so Miami's the one seed. They get to host. They'll take on Bowling Green on Thursday and in the second game. So they'll be at 3:30. First pitch for game one, though, Ohio and Central Michigan will tip off. Well, first pitch will be at 1 o'clock there in Oxford on Thursday for Ohio and Central Michigan. Ohio did defeat Central Michigan 2-1 in their only meeting this season. Miami did the same thing to Bowling Green, 2-1. The Redhawks bested the Falcons. But Vanzi, one thing I wanted to point out here, and something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on, is that this isn't a series anymore. This is you got one shot to play these teams and win, right? So starting pitching makes so much of a difference in these games. Whenever it's just it's one game, it's one matchup. And when it comes to pitching, Vanzi, I don't know that there's anybody in the conference better than Bowling Green's ace, Peyton Gottschall. You look at the major pitching statistics in the MAC, she leads in all of them. ERA, she's first. Opponent batting average, my goodness, if I could talk, she's first. Innings pitch, she's first. Strikeouts, she's first. Wins, she's first. Saves, she's first. So if there's one person or one team that I feel might be able to beat Miami, if you put Peyton Gottschall on the mound for Bowling Green here and she has her best stuff, even though Bowling Green is the four seed here, even though Miami beat them 2 out of 3 earlier this season, I can definitely see a way where Peyton Gottschall is dominant and the Falcons knock off the Redhawks in the first round here.
Is that a not so fast Lee Corso softball upset, you know? But
sure, put me down for that. I am going to pick the Falcons over the Redhawks on Thursday, first round of the MAC softball tournament.
Okay, and you know, one thing to keep an eye out though, Miami. I mean, so you know, you're talking about Bowling Green's pitcher. She was the MAC pitcher of the week this past week. You know, obviously with numbers like that, not surprising. And, you know, I could see why you would go that route, but not so fast. Brianna Pratt of Miami from Perrysburg, Ohio. That's like right in between Bowling Green and Toledo. So I don't know how she got all the way down to Oxford, but she's a senior, struck out 10 batters in 14 innings pitched. You know, she was up for, you know, the MAC pitcher of the week, didn't quite get it. Past week, 2.98 earned run average, second straight MAC regular season championship for the Miami Redhawks there. You know, that's pretty impressive stuff. Miami I did some digging last year in the NCAA tournament. They lost to Notre Dame in Northwestern. There was not a MAC softball tournament last year, the last 2 years. So this is the first time since COVID that there is a MAC softball tournament, which will be interesting to see.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll keep an eye on that for you folks. And like I said, this will be out Thursday morning. Those games start Thursday afternoon. So should have this out in time for you to be able to follow along with some MAC softball to get you through into the weekend. Fancy, let's close out the show here with some baseball.
Real quick, I got one factoid I got to throw out here.
Okay.
So I'm looking at this, I can't miss this one. I got to give a shout out here. I'm looking over this MAC softball press release, and Brenna Brownfield from Kent State, designated player. That seems weird. So I start reading and it says playing with a torn ACL that requires a pinch runner whenever she reaches base.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, playing with a torn ACL. I mean, I don't know what the softball equivalent of all Madden is, but
yeah,
Brenna Brownfield, put her on that list.
That's toughness right there. Certainly. I stubbed my toe and I'm down for a day. I can't imagine playing on a torn ACL. That's a well-deserved shout out there for Brenna. So good catch there, Vanzi.
I have a White Claw and I'm out for at least half a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that extra, the wings are too spicy and I'm on the IR for a while, So yeah, I can't even imagine playing with a torn ACL. So shout out to Brenna there, a well-deserved shout out. Vanzi, let's look at the baseball, where we're at in baseball right now here real quick before we get out of here. Ball State continues their strong form as of late. They took 3 of 4 from Kent State this weekend. They got their winning streak up to 11 before Kent State won the last game of that series. So Ball State still in first place after winning 3 of 4 there. They're currently 26-5 in the conference. Central Michigan right behind them at 24-6. The Chippewas took 3 of 4 from Western Michigan this weekend. Ohio swept 4 from Akron. Northern Illinois and Eastern Michigan split 4 games. Toledo and Bowling Green split 4 games. And then Miami was the lone non-conference team this week. They took on Illinois out of the Big Ten and were swept in 3 games by the Illini. But Vanzi, let's take a look. The big story here, 2 weeks left to go this weekend and one more where we got basically 4 teams, five teams still in contention for the last 2 spots there for the MAC tournament. So we got Ohio in 3rd place right now at 16-12, Toledo in 4th place at 18-14. For everyone else, Eastern Michigan at 15-17, Miami 14-18, Kent State 13-17, Western Michigan 13-18. We can throw them in there as well. Tough road to climb for all 4 of those teams. Toledo and Ohio seem to have the advantage here going in these last, 6 games, 8 games of the season. What do you think though here, Vanzi? Obviously I know you're an Eastern Michigan guy. Do you see a path for the Eagles to move up back into that 4th spot and find their way into the conference tournament?
So I'm hoping to make it out to Ypsilanti this weekend. I got some things going on, but the reason I hope to make it out to Ypsilanti this weekend is Eastern Michigan baseball plays host to Central Michigan.
Yeah.
So, it does it. And then they got Kent State next week. So it doesn't get much tougher than that. At least it's at home, you're hosting Central Michigan, should be great weather, so they should get all of those in, but boy, that's going to be very tough. You don't have much margin of error if you're EMU. Toledo holds the tiebreaker over you. And just a couple weeks ago it looked like Eastern was going to be better than Ohio. Had some chances in their series against Ohio and kind of let them off the hook. But when you look up and down these MAC baseball standings, 32-15 Ball State, 32-15 Central, I'm talking overall record, 24-19 Ohio, 27-20 Toledo. Eastern Michigan is the next highest at 21-27. And you know, and then if you look at just, you know, so the four teams with winning overall records and winning records in the MAC even are the teams that are 1-4 in a conference. It's hard to argue that any other team deserves the opportunity to play in a MAC baseball tournament than the teams with winning records. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, it goes without saying. I'm real curious about the regular season title. Ball State holds a tiebreaker over Central, obviously, but still just right there. Just that, you know, one game, or I guess, you know, two games, so to speak, really separating them. So that's going to be kind of interesting as well, but it's going to be, I think Toledo's playing better baseball. I know they lost the last time out, and they're actually playing Bowling Green at the Mudhen Stadium right now. You know, so that's something that once this comes out, there will be a completed result. But yeah, Toledo in Ohio, I think, are right there in the driver's seat. I like their chances of going. Eastern Michigan's going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those two teams, they do seem like they're kind of in the driver's seat there when it comes to the third and fourth spots. Speaking of Ohio, though, I mean, talk about a tough series this weekend. You got to go to Muncie to take on Ball State. So Ohio with a chance to solidify their spot there in the third place. But, I mean, some of these other teams that are looking to climb back up into the standings, you mentioned Eastern Michigan taking on Central Michigan. Kent State and Western Michigan will play four this weekend in Kalamazoo. Potentially big series there. If one of those teams can win three or four, they get themselves back into contention. You also got Toledo, Northern Illinois, and Miami Akron. So some opportunities there for some of these teams that are climbing up, trying to climb up back into that fourth spot. Bowling Green is your lone non-conference team this weekend, traveling out to Piscataway, New Jersey, to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who are in first place, actually, in the Big Ten right now. So Vanzi, any final thoughts on baseball, anything you're specifically looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, no, not really anything other than what we spoke of, but I just got to say, I think if you're a team that's on that bubble, say an Eastern Michigan, a Miami, a Kent State, even a Western, you basically have to, at this point, sweep a series.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because if you're splitting series, you're not gaining any ground. And that's hard to say, and it's even harder to do, but it's the truth.
It's a fact. It's a fact for sure. There's not a lot of time left here. I mean, you got eight games left to make your case and climb back up into that fourth spot. And in some cases here, I mean, you got to make up three games in eight games. Not an easy thing to do. Not only do you need to sweep a series or two, but you're going to need some help as well. So we'll see how these last 2 weeks play out here on the diamond. We got the softball tournament coming up this weekend. We've got the baseball tournament in a couple weeks. So a lot of postseason action here on the diamond between the bases here coming up over the next couple of weeks. So that's going to wrap it up for us here tonight, folks. We appreciate you stopping by as always. Vanzi, always a pleasure, my man. Any final words of wisdom for the good of the people out there?
Yeah, you know, up here in MAC country, we talk so much about, you know, the cold weather, the bad weather, and the weather we get on the MACtion Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights. You know what? We're at a point where some good weather is starting to settle in. You know what? Get out there, have some good, you know, enjoy the weather. Maybe check out a ball game. Get outside. You know, there'll come a time in the winter where you might not be outside for 3 or 4 months. So get outside.
Totally agree, man. We complain all winter about the cold and the wind and the snow, but whenever we get the nice weather, we got to take advantage of it. So I totally agree with that, folks. Hey, maybe go for a nice little walk while you're listening to us talk, while you're listening to this podcast. Maybe that's a nice way to get some steps and get the blood flowing. Anyway, that'll do it for us this week, folks. Thank you, as always, for stopping by for episode 96 of The Bandwagon. I am Zach Follower. He is Zach Vanuenzi. Thanks for stopping by, as always, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.